This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. Whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, cool and overcast Thursday afternoon. It is there's two weekdays left in this year. Maybe three, as Monday is Christmas is the New Year's Eve, and so we're tapering down, winding down, folks. If you want to give us a call today on the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We are able to be reached on text number 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So we are going to be on the show today. Tomorrow. And then we're going to see you in the new year. Let me wish you all, express the hope that you have a fantastic, amazing new year. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have one without challenges, but I trust and hope that it'll be one in which, if you have challenges, you can meet them all. And if you don't believe you've met every challenge this year, are you not still here? Even the ones that are lingering, you're dealing with it, no doubt. So I wish you a very prosperous, spirit-filled, enjoyable 2024 with all the resilience and all the endurance that you will require. Be able to make the best of it. Whatever 2023 has meant, it's gone now, but just about. Nothing you can do about anything that happened this year. Nothing whatsoever. Can't change anything that's happened. You can't change anything that's happened. It's already happened. It's in the past, and you can't return there. The only thing you could do is work on the right now in the hope of ensuring that every new right now for you is a good one. Good one. Right? One that you're satisfied with. One that you can feel proud about. One that advances your interests and your causes in life. So that's my hope for you. All of you listening and those who are not listening. All of you. That's my hope. All my friends, all my foes, all my neighbors, all my family. That's my hope for you. So I promised this day that we were going to look at the economy and what we should expect for 2024. Why even bother with it, right? Well, I mean, like, really, the economy provides the means in a lot of ways for the life, the quality of life we enjoy. In particular, the material quality of life we enjoy. It is the economy, the production, consumption, and distribution of goods and services, and all the money-related and trade-related things that is attached to that, that allows us to earn an income, whether we earn that income by paid employment, or we earn that income by self-employment, or we earn that income by entrepreneurship or business ownership. It is that economy that allows us our needs, that is, to feed ourselves, to clothe ourselves, to shelter ourselves, the very basic things, to attend hospital when it's required. It is that that allows us to provide the taxes to the government that enables it to provide the public goods and services that we need in order to live in a civil, organized society. It is that economy that allows us to fund our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations, whether that is some leisure or entertainment we want, or some vacation we want to have, or some education of our children to the level of college or that, or some tertiary institution. It is that economy that allows us to even give a charity, a charitable contribution to some place. It is a is that economy that allows us to contribute to the building and an ongoing of our places of worship. The economy matters, and it matters a great deal, particularly when we live as we do in these modern free enterprise capitalist societies that we live in, where practically everything has been commoditized, so that you got to pay for pretty much everything you want. If you need it and want it, you got to pay for it. And that means that the economy matters to you. And so getting an idea, I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen next year. I cannot do that. I don't even pretend to do that. Again, I can, based on information available, say what is likely to happen. And that gives you then a sense of how you need to, may want to maneuver, organize your own affairs to be able to get by or thrive, succeed in 2024. So we want to talk about some of that today. So let's look our economy, the Bahamian economy, exists in a global economy and pretty much depends on the dynamism of that global economy. So we are in the tourism business, we are in the international financial services business, we are in the real estate business, we are in the construction business, and a great many of the activities that take place in those sectors that dominate our economy are fueled by the vibrancy, the dynamism, the abundance of activities in the global economy. So if the global economy is thriving, the probability that we can do well increases. If the global economy is not thriving, the probability that we will not do well increases. By global economy, we certainly mean all the economies of the world combined, but there are those economies that are most dominant in that, and some we depend on more so than others. So
the American economy, the economy of the United States of America, is a huge part of the global economic dynamics. And so if that economy is thriving, the world economy has a better chance of thriving. If it is not, the world economy has a lesser chance of thriving. The European economy, same thing, very important. The U.S. economy, though, is directly tied to our economy to the extent that so many of our tourists come from the United States of America, in particular the East, the Northeast, Southeastern coast of the United States of America. So we rely heavily on that economy for our tourism input, right? In terms of our international financial services, a great many of our clients are from Europe and from South America, Brazil, that kind of way, right? Some Canadians, but mostly from those areas. And so we rely on them. So we rely on the global economy. And so you'll always hear when the Minister of Finance is making his budget communication and giving a perspective on the economy's outlook, he starts with the global economic outlook. So what is it that we are seeing, hearing, is likely in the global economy next year? What we are being told is that whether you listen to, say, a major investment firm like Charles Schwab's or Morgan Stanley, or you listen to the Harvard Business Review or the World Economic Forum or the International Monetary Fund, the projection is that the world economy will grow around 3%. Some put it a little under 3%, some just slightly over 3%, but around 3% is what you get. Now, let me say, to put that in some perspective for you, 3% for the world's economy, the global economy, is not good. It isn't bad, but it's not. When the global economy is growing under 3%, it's regarded as in recession in many ways, right? When it's growing under 3%. So 3% is like borderline, and so as it stands now, there is really a subdued, modest outlook for the global economy, right? If you listen to the IMF latest forecast for the Bahamian economy, it would have indicated a growth for us above around 4%, 3.9%, but next year, or about 1.8%. 1.8% for us is returning to those very modest levels of growth that we had seen prior to the pandemic. So realizing now, no more 5%, 6%, 8%, 15% growth as the recovery wanes and we get back to normal. The idea is that the Bahamian economy will grow at a pace of about 1.8%. That is not robust growth. That is not significant building on where we are. That's not. And that is especially interesting in light of the fact that we have so much unemployment left to soak up. We have so many gains in terms of the losses that people have had in their income streams, and people have had in the deterioration of their disposable income that has been generated by price increases and stagnant wages, so many gains to make up. So returning to a 1.8% growth around that, it's growth still. So you have to be grateful, but it's still as something of a concern if you're looking at it. So overall, the idea is we'll grow next year, but that growth is modest. And if that growth is modest, that means do not expect in the broad, big changes in your economic circumstances generated by the economy itself. Again, what's the takeaway? Do not expect big changes, significant changes, materially manifested changes in your personal financial economic circumstances as a population driven by improvements in the economy. Don't expect it. Not from the economy. We can talk about some other things that might impact upon your circumstances, but the economy will not push you to nicer pay increases, for instance, will not move significantly, not from what we are seeing at the moment, will not move unemployment significantly, and will not make for the kind of rosy business picture that I'm sure so many business people would love to see. We just don't have in the forecast that level of growth built into our economic outlook at the moment. Okay, can something change? Of course something could change. Do we see something that might change that at the moment? We do not. But doesn't mean that something couldn't change. So that's the takeaway, okay? You are not going to, in the mean, generally speaking, not specifically, some people might have some significant departure from this, but generally speaking, the economy's growth does not offer a significant thrust to raise the level of your sea of prosperity significantly. Okay, that's first thing. Of course, then, if you're looking at basically the same level of income as you had before, with marginal chance of any reasonable increases, then of course that leaves you with the area of crisis in the country. And what we are seeing as a forecast is that inflation, which is a general rise in prices, is likely to decrease next year relative to this year. This year, the suggestion is that inflation would be around about 6.8%. Next year, the suggestion is around 5.2%. Bear in mind, that isn't calling for negative inflation as in deflation, meaning prices get decreased. That's calling for a slowdown in the increase in prices. So if whatever the prices are this year, for the most part, they will be higher next year, but not as high as a rate of increase this year was sustained. All right? So there is unlikely to be any reduction in the prices of things in general next year relative to this year. What will happen, what the suggestion is that the increase in those prices will not be as high. That's the suggestion. So you go in the food store next year and think, oh, milk going down, this going down, the next thing going down, and so forth and so forth. It could happen, my friends like to say, but that's not what the inflation forecast is calling for. It's calling for a slowing in inflation, but still inflation nonetheless. Prices will increase next year. And that's across the globe. In the Bahamas, inflation is likely to be of the order of 3.9%, 4%. Now, to put that in some perspective for you, we have been accustomed for years of having inflation around 2% or under 2%. So 3.9, twice that. So it's still twice the rate of increase as we had been accustomed to for years. So that's still a relatively high rate of inflation we're experiencing in the Bahamas. And it is not an easy on the pockets of Bahamians. No one has to tell me. No one goes and shops for me. I go in the shops myself. Them prices are carrying on back. And you paying cereal $8, $9, and $10 and $11. These are regular boxes of cereal now. Come on, please. Right? even the things that you say, well, we should maybe we should replace the sugar with honey. Okay. And get that little bottle of honey for $14, $13, $11, depending on who you're getting it from. I went in the food store. Strawberries, a pack of strawberries, $9.99 was the cheapest I saw. One was almost $13. A pack of strawberries. Listen to me. Earlier this year, them same strawberries, same, was $5.99. So there'll be no relief in prices next year. The relief will be in how much the prices are increasing, but there'll be no drop off in prices as far as we could tell, unless something dramatic happens differently. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're talking about the economy's outlook for next year. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back to this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safe, all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of Z Live, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same
road. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-304. So we're talking about the outlook for the economy for 2024. We've indicated that a number of highly regarded entities, whether you're looking at, say, Charles Schwab or Morgan Stanley or Harvard or World Economic Forum or the International Monetary Fund, puts growth of the global economy around 2.6 to 3.1%. And the IMF suggests for the time being, Bahamas might see economic growth of the order of 3.9% this year. 1.8% next year, moving us back to normal growth, at least the growth that we have seen over the last 10, 15 years or so, around that 2% mark. Sometimes we got up to 3%, but generally speaking, we were around that 1.8, 2% mark.
which is, again, modest growth for us, and certainly doesn't portend for really significant, or just real, like, not significant economic fortunes. Inflation will slow from the 6.8% estimate to about 5.2%. In the Bahamas, it's expected to be around 3.9% next year, which is still higher than our what we had become accustomed to over the last decades, but nonetheless is lower than what we would have been seeing in recent times, right? So when we look at the economy and what might come to benefit us, one of the things we look for is investment inflows, okay? Now, those inflows, in this instance, we're talking about foreign direct investment inflows. And while I have heard the significant number that were given by the Deputy Prime Minister on this show even about investments in the pipeline, the materializing of investments in the country has not been of that order. He's talked about $6 billion and that kind of number. But if you look to the central bank's quarterly statistical digest and you go to its latest quarterly statistical digest, which would be November 2023, and you go to the balance of payments table, you can see how direct investment inflows and outflows have performed over the last couple of years. And you will see that we have had inflows of around, say, $400 million or there last in 2022. And then at least for the quarters that have been measured by the central bank, we are looking at inflows of the order of about $200 million or thereabouts, right? So whatever the numbers are in the pipeline, the investment numbers are not translating as handsomely as that yet. Right. And so if these trends continue, if you bear in mind the $400-500 million worth of investment inflows had its impact on the economy in 2023, and 2023's growth was of the order of about maybe almost 5-6%. And you're looking at forecasts for 2% or thereabout growth in next year. And if the investment numbers are not going to be significantly higher than this year, then you don't get to see that, you know, that level of employment generation, income generation, as you would want to need to see in order to see better times, right? And so unless we see some real push in the area of investments, you know, you don't get to have that impact. I did listen a bit to conversation where my name was called, I think, by C. Allen Johnson in respect of some discussions that Howard and Garth were having about the economy in the 90s and so forth. And I thought C. Allen actually acquitted himself very well when he indicated to them that you cannot look at our GDP and think that was significantly contributed to by drug trafficking. That's a very fair. One of the ways you kind of get a sense of
what the drug trade has meant to your economy is by looking at something in the central bank statistical numbers that's called errors and omission. It's not only for drug trafficking, but it's a measure of the informal realities of an economy, because that errors and omission is essentially the central bank saying there is this level of economic activity, but it's not captured in the formal economy. It didn't pass through the financial system in a way that we could account for it. But we know that, and if you look at all the numbers, something is there. And so they call it errors and omissions. So if you want to get a sense of what happened in the economy on the informal side of it, the informal side of it could mean not just drug trafficking, just people whose businesses are under the radar, not licensed and all that kind of stuff taking place. You can get a sense from there. And there's no one who could read the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for the 90s and mistake the fact that the big push, not a nudge, the big push in that economy was one, Atlantis, all the phases for 2000. And Howard rightly said, a part of the tourism thrust that Atlantis enjoyed on its investment was the buoyancy that existed in the United States of America during the dot-com bubble that pushed economic activity and prosperity in America and certainly help people travel. But our economy benefited from the substantial billions of dollars in investment from Atlantis and other investments in the Nassau and New Providence situation. In Grand Bahama, it was not drug trafficking in the 90s that did that at all. Not in any meaningful way. It was the investment by Hutchison Whampoa of $400 million in at the container port to the tune of $300+ million, the shipyard by the two major cruise lines and the Bradford Marine and all those things that came on stream that soaked up all, provided all kinds of construction jobs and all kinds of other jobs. And that produced all that money flowing in Grand Bahama to the extent that Grand Bahama's production of concrete was so utilized in its own on the island that there was no export it could make to not New Providence to assist in their development. So it was driven by very manifest investments in the country. And there's no question about it. And I recall God saying how monies was flowing in the 90s, except he was right. People were having 3 and 4 jobs. People from Atlantis, the banks were telling us in the government how robustly people were able to make deposits. They weren't giving nobody's names or anything, but they just were reflecting the robustness of deposits, et cetera, because of what was happening in the economy at the time, driven largely by the foreign direct investment that was taking place, unprecedented levels of foreign direct investment that were taking place during the 90s. And that tapered off in the 2000s, and we have not been the same ever since, right? Even the Bahama development did not provide for the Bahamas the thrust that the Atlantis development provided. And how could it? It did not have the levels of Bahamian employment as it had before. The sourcing and supplying was primarily from China because the Chinese were funding that development. And so it didn't have the same material impact as the Atlantis developments had on the island and on the country, right? So investment flows, we would have to see. We don't have any projection for those flows, but we'll have to see. It's Texas afternoon. I just tuned in, had forgotten you said yesterday you were talking economy today. I predict another slow growth. The middle class and lower middle class will continue to feel pressure. This would be a major challenge for the government. Well, the growth we talked about, the growth is modest growth. I can't say slow growth, because slow growth, if you're doing 2% growth, 2.5% growth, that's modest growth. This slow growth is under 1%, and that's not what the forecast calls for.
And yes, middle income, well, many people will continue to feel pressures, but we'll talk about that later on, because those pressures aren't merely because of the economy, because it's a lot of those people still have the same jobs that they have. Some of that pressure will be for other things, and we'll talk about that a little later on. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We are going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Insurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7000.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we talk about 2024 and the expectations for the economy in 2024. We're basically touching on the things that tend to matter most to us as a population, and so and how those things will play into our economic realities next year. And so we've already talked about what the forecast is for the economy's growth: modest, inflation still high but decreasing, investment flows uncertain, but given historical numbers, unless something fantastic happens, likely to hover around the same level. Tourism, the outlook for tourism is good. Look for tourism. Across the globe, the tourism sector in 2022, as an example, rebounded by 108.5% in terms of inbound tourism. This according to Statista. In terms of outbound tourism, 109.7%. In 2023, 15.5%. Inbound of 15.9% outbound in terms of increase. And the projection is that in 2024, tourism will increase in terms of inbound tourism, this across the globe, by 25.5% and outbound 25.2%.
And so that's good news for the global economy. People are going to be traveling even more, according to the global forecast. There's a world travel report that is making some interesting observations about tourism. And in that observation, they are making the point that young travelers are going to continue to be very impactful on world travel. Young travelers between the ages of 18 and 34, believe it or not, they are traveling. These folks, I can tell you, I have some of them, and they traveling. I have a couple of them. I have three of them in my life, and they are traveling. And so these people are featuring and factoring significantly in travel. And the one good news about, well, the good news about them is this. They say that the fact that these people are traveling means good news for the long term, because chances are this habit of traveling is going to be carried on into their older years. That's good news. All right. So is the Bahamas pivoting to acknowledging and recognizing these? Guess what's happening with these young travelers? These young travelers are also participating in solo travel. So when surveyed, this age group of Americans said that 43% of them said that they intended to solo travel. And guess what? Solo cruise travel and all. So there's for those business people, those entrepreneurs, those people who are minded to look at trends and say, you know what, how can I tap into that? You got to ask yourself, what does an 18 to 34 year old want to do when they travel? What do they need when they travel? Are they more likely to be Airbnb-ing? Are they more likely to be resorting? When they come, what kinds of activities are they likely to want to participate in? And if you're an entrepreneur, you say, well, how can I tap in to that? So that's one of the trends that they are seeing in terms of travel they expect to carry into 2024. The other one is something called vacations, right? And vacations are essentially people who are getting paid the vacation because they are working. So lots of people are deciding, you know, I'm not going back to the stuffy office, not going back. I've set up my circumstances in which I could be in the Bahamas and still work and get paid and so forth. And so that's another trend. So the question becomes one of how can you accommodate people who want to work and vacation, but be able to have at their disposal the kinds of things to help them work effectively. You don't want to be trying to work on your computer drop, your internet dropping, and so forth, right? And you still, if you want a vacation, it still has to be cost effective for you. So vacations are another trend. Luxury cruising is up and expected to continue to be up into 2024. So are we on the luxury cruise radar? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that market that well, but lots of people are looking for luxury cruises, according to information from World Travel Report provided by Alliance. Wellness travel is part of what people are trending toward in these days and expected to go into the new year. And guess who's also wellness traveling? 18 to 34 year olds. They're saying, listen, man, I don't just want to travel. I want to travel in a way that helps me to meditate, that helps me to be present, that helps me to practice mindfulness, that helps me to maybe get exposed to herbs and stuff that are healthy for me, and an eating that is healthy for me. So here again, how do you tap into that trend? Another trend expectation is that business travel, while it was significantly down in the pandemic, is going to and starting to rebound, and is likely to rebound into the new year. So tourism, good news for tourism all around, saving and except some untoward, unforeseen, something happens good news for tourism, which means, generally speaking, good news for us, even though, and I'm going to talk about this a little later on, better news for us depending on how we position ourselves, right? Okay. So into 2024, what is employment likely to look like? You've got modest employment, modest growth, higher than normal inflation still. So prices are still pressuring souls. Investments are likely to maintain pace, but is not at the moment, from what we could see, so robust as to really break into the labor market in the way that we might want. So what's the outlook for unemployment, for employment next year? Well, we recorded 8.8% unemployment in 2023, according to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. In New Providence, that level was 8.9%. In Grand Bahama, that level was 10.8%. And in Abaco, that level was 7.1%. Okay, I'm gonna kind of size these up. Full employment in the Bahamas would be of the order, I think, of about 3%. Full employment. You say, but you could be fully employed and not have zero unemployment. Well, because you have to understand, you never want your labor market to be in a way where there's no available labor for new businesses to employ as they come on stream, or businesses to employ as they expand. When you have that kind of situation, you have what you call a very tight labor market, and that can fuel inflation. That can fuel labor-driven inflation, right? Because now people are saying, yeah, you need them workers, and now you want to get me to come from working for over there. Well, you got to pay me more than they paying me over there. And so you, there's always some slack in the labor market movement between businesses by people, and allows for new businesses to find employment and expanding businesses and find employment. That's generally the rule. So that's why we normally say, you know, full employment is not 0%, but around about, it could be around about 3% of this economy. So if you have an unemployment rate of about 9%, 8%, then you can see where you are from full employment. And so that'll tell you the kinds of numbers you have to get at in order to achieve full employment. And for us, that means the creation of in excess of 20,000+ jobs, right? And remember, your labor supply is increasing every year with new graduation of students, all right? So thousands of jobs have to be found in order to get a full employment. That's not gonna happen next year. That's not gonna be close to next year. Not even close, okay? Whatever it is, true that unemployment is down relative to the pandemic, but it is also true our economy is not in a healthy employment generating circumstance yet. All right, let's be real. Let's be clear about that. All right, that's not an affront to any achievement that anybody has made. That's just the reality of the economy. It is not, it wasn't healthy in 2029. It wasn't healthy in 2019. It wasn't healthy in 2018. It wasn't healthy in 2016. It wasn't healthy in 2015. It wasn't healthy in 2014. It wasn't healthy in 2013, 2012, 11, 10. Now, I just crossed over three administrations so that any FNM PLP who want to fight could fight amongst themselves. Including, I crossed into the administration I was a part of with Hubert Alexander and Miss Minister of State. We have not had healthy economies in this country. We have not had a healthy economy for job generation and creation in this country since 2001. Have not. Okay? Youth unemployment in the country is of the order of 18.5%. People between 15 and 24 years old, unemployed to the tune of 18.5%. Now, full employment is 3%. That's 15 percentage points above that number. People between 25 and 54, 8% unemployment. Okay? These numbers are possible. These numbers can go down a bit, but it won't be by much, in my view, unless something significant happens, which could be the case. So these numbers will, I don't see these numbers worsening at all. I think I see them getting better, but I don't see them getting significantly better. Like I don't see the national unemployment rate dropping to 7%. I don't see that. But we get hope, you know, and if I'm wrong, I'd be happy to be wrong. Okay. So that's us. When we come back from the news break, we'll talk about challenges and opportunities in light of this economic outlook. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shafag Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down. Okay.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shafag Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, cold, and overcast where I am Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 426 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I did not not know. I did in fact receive the press statement from the Prime Minister's office indicating a slight adjustment to the cabinet such that the Honorable Miles LaRota is no longer now Minister of State in the Prime Minister's office, but now the Minister of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting. Congratulations to him. I think that that is well deserved. Always believed that he was maybe being a bit underutilized. Wish him well. Leon Lundy is being promoted to Minister of State in the office of the Prime Minister. I don't know Mr. Lundy that well, actually, but congratulations to him and all the best in his new appointment. And then Mr. Kingsley Smith, the newest Member of Parliament, has been appointed Parliamentary Secretary in the Ministry of Grandma. He can be close to home, close to constituency. He'll join the Minister of Grand Bahama in that ministry. Congratulations to him, and we'll see how that works out. So there you have it. It's just a slight adjustment to the Prime Minister's cabinet.
It's one way to generate a little bit of excitement sometimes, you know, with your people. I'm sure the people of West Grand Bahama, people are strange though. People are weird, right? We all are. We like this. So your former member of parliament was a full cabinet minister. And now you can give me a parliamentary secretary. All I can say is, so if Mr. Smith, boy, go in there and you got to be active and you got to show them, listen, I ain't got to be no minister with portfolio, bro. Let me show you all. But BAM is like that, boy. Now, listen to me. My people who are called by my name. We can be big eye when we ready, boy. We can be big eye when we ready. And we could put pressure on you, boy. We could put some pressure on you. Now, you have two young people. You have the Ginger Moxie, who is young and an assertive individual. She can get some bad press from people down home, you know, but she is a doer. She is a doer. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't like our approaches to things as much as, you know, and I warn young ministers, young politicians, something that Hubert Ingram warned me about. He said, Trivago, any effort you make to try and only take care of FNMs will blow up in your face. That's what he told me. He says, because the truth is, while you know your support, some of your supporters, you do not know all the people who support you. And because you are the government, your duty is to the people of the country. He says, so be careful. Careful. Right? So those two young people, I believe Mr. Smith might be, you know, an assertive guy too. It'll be interesting to see how their dynamics play out. And if they do so positively, that could bode well for them. But don't bust up in there. Because people will. Anyway, so do you have what I regard as the outlook for the economy next year now? Is there anything you need clarification on? You know, did I miss anything? Let me know if I could be helpful. So if you say, Shibago, tell me, is the economy going to be bad, good, or same next year? I would say to you, it'll be marginally better than this year. Okay? That's my take. But let me also say that there are some downside risk for the economy for sure. Okay, be sure of that. The world circumstances is not altogether stable, and that's on both the structural economic front and on the political geopolitical front. And there's always the environmental issues that can inject challenges into the economy. Our economic situation is significant. So we don't have time to sit around and to rest on any laurels or believe that we can be in cruise control. From the government to individuals, each has to fashion their circumstances to anticipate some injury to the economy and personal self. Hear me what I'm saying? That's how significant the downside risks are, is that you should anticipate, you should regard as probable some intervention. Was some intervention that could provide some disruption and discomfort
and organize yourself accordingly. Okay? All right. So what are the challenges to our economic circumstances next year? Challenges. I believe the most significant challenge remains generating employment, particularly for young people. We need to be in a situation. I mean by that, I mean the economy needs to be in a situation to provide Bahamian young people with a hope of gainful employment. So much for their self-esteem. That does so much for their sense of place. That does so much for their dignity. That does so much for their ability to press their own way in the world. And providing employment, not just for young people, I said, but in particular for young people, because their unemployment level is so high, providing employment remains the single biggest challenge to this economy. Single biggest challenge to this economy. The next big challenge is wage stagnation. There are lots of people who are working. Lots of Bahamians are working. Thousands and thousands of, tens of thousands of Bahamians are working. They were, you know, on that same pay they've been having for a little while. And given the extent to which inflation has been eating into their purchasing power, they're looking for a raise. They're looking for something to give them some relief. So that's the other. Now, that's not only on the government, because the government only employs 22,000 or so of the people. The balance of them, the balance of the 180 plus thousand people are employed in the private sector of this country. And many of them are employed in small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. And no doubt they feel that wage stagnation as the cost of living presses in on them. So that's another big challenge. Prices remains another big challenge to this economy. You know, inflation continues. And fuel and energy costs in the country continues to eat at the very base of the country. Then there's business growth. Entrepreneurs need the enthusiasm of expansion, the enthusiasm of creation. They need that to keep them interested in applying their capital into the economy. And if they don't feel they don't see the prospect of that return, they start to wean in their enthusiasm. And that is a problem. And so the economic environment has to be supportive of their enthusiasm to invest. And then finally, I think the government's funding of its obligations is a huge challenge. Raising the first of all, the continuing deficit spending, which is likely to continue into next year. Well, it is going to continue into next year. The need, therefore, to raise borrowings, and the challenge of an environment that continues to not see the most enthusiastic, optimistic circumstance with respect to economic outlook, to be willing, without significant penalty in the way of interest rates, to fund the government's needs. So those are the five biggest challenges, economic challenges I see to this economy. Maybe you have some additional ones, but those are the ones I see. There are other challenges, mind you. But those are the five major ones that I see. Personally, the personal indebtedness of Bahamians is a challenge to this economy. And the lack of financial planning and execution at the personal level, and some might even dare say at the institutional level, is a challenge. So there are other challenges. Ms. Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I mostly eat fruits and vegetables. Because I know that they are so expensive, what I do is look for the ones that gives the same nutritional value and purchase the one that is cheaper. Example, cabbage versus Brussels sprouts. It makes good sense. Makes good sense. Ms. Tex says, I love your show because you educate your audience and give us information that will benefit us. Thank you very much. We try. We try for sure. Okay. So those are the challenges that I see. I do not see us overcoming them next year, but I do see, and by overcoming, I mean these will persist into the prior year, into successive years. But we can continue to make deposits on meeting these challenges. And to some degree, we have in this year because unemployment is down, right? But we can make deposits. And the question for us really becomes one of some of these challenges being met requires much more personal enterprise. Really? Right? Meaning you, me, the individual us, have to be more enterprising. We have to be, we. That's not, some youth employment isn't on the government. There's things the government can do. For instance, when I was a minister of state responsible for youth sports and culture, I created the Fresh Start Youth Unemployment Program. The idea behind that program is young people who had been unemployed for long periods of time could get some fundamental training and soft skills, get tied to some business where the government pays a portion of the wage and the private sector pays the other portion, with the possibility that over the 6 months to 1 year, the person is engaged, then the people may feel like this is somebody I want to keep on after the program is over. So there are things the government can do, but that program at most might have like 100, 200 people in it, right? There are thousands of young people who are unemployed. So the government isn't going to employ all of them. So some part of the government's thing, of some part of their employment has to be on their own enterprise, their own initiative. You know, they're maybe, but we're not doing the right and adequate search for those jobs. Additionally, we created the self-starter program where we gave $5,000 grants to young people to be able to fund the purchase of equipment and tools for little small businesses that they wanted to start. The Bahama Striping started out of that project. There's a printing business here in Freeport doing very well. Started a number of businesses started out of that. So government can do some things, but there are some things we can do. Wage stagnation. If 80% of the people are employed in the private sector or more, and most of them work and make above minimum wage, most of them. I know what you think, but most Bahamians make above minimum wage, right? So the government's minimum wage is a mandatory requirement for businesses. If they're already paying more than that and your wage is stagnant, the government can't fix that for you, and the government ain't likely to fix that for you by passing a new minimum wage that's higher, because they know the implications of that. But the private sector will then have to attend to better wages for you. And how are they going to do that? Oh, Lord. They're going to have to see more profits. They're going to have to see more business. And to some degree, some of that is on you as a worker. Some of it is on you. The others of it is on their business strategy and so forth, so forth. So altogether, it's not the government. Same thing with prices. I hear the government, listen, man, government of the Bahamas, please, let's help our people grow. Let's help our people develop in terms of their understanding of how things work. You cannot fix the prices in the food stores. You cannot fix the prices in the pharmacies. You cannot. You can help alleviate to some degree, but you know the implications of that. You could take the tax off of fuel, but you know the implications of that. So let's stop telling people that you can fix the prices in the stores, you can help reduce the cost of living. It ain't gonna happen by no government action. unless the government takes drastic action, which will make us unlike the society we have ever been. Because the government can pass a law and tell them, listen, cut all the prices by 50%, and then watch what happens. Let's be honest with people. Listen, price relief is going to come with some ease in global logistics, maybe with some greater competition in global supplies, maybe with greater competition in local provision of stuff where Bahamians have been protected for years in those businesses. My God, they don't like me, but I don't even like Chicago Langford. Mind you, these same Bahamians want competition where they source their supplies. See, they don't want to have to buy from one person who's the only people in the world who sells that. They want to be able to go and check out the companies in Brazil, check out the companies in China, check out the companies in the Dominican Republic, check out the companies in the United States and see who offer the best price and then pick from that. They don't care that one company is Brazilian, the next company is Chinese, the next company is American. They don't mind that competition for their sourcing. What they don't want is competition in their market for their supplying. Because it would benefit them too, because then they would have to compete rigorously for your business and maybe then give you better pricing and better quality goods. But they don't want that. They want the government to protect them. Protect them from who? Protect them from foreigners. Don't let any foreigners come in here and compete with us. Forget that the restaurants, local restaurants owned by local Bahamians or local Bahamian restaurants have to compete with all these international restaurants. That's okay. They don't have no problem with that. They don't have no problem with the Bahamian hotelier having to compete with foreign hotels. No problem with that. They have no difficulty with that. They don't have no money problem with the Bahamian agriculture and fisheries man and women who have to compete with foreign suppliers of fish and agricultural products. They have no difficulty with that. Just do not have any competition for my Cap'n Crunch from no foreigner. Don't have no competition for my law services from no foreigner. Don't do it. No competition for my inland transportation from no foreigner. Don't do it. Everybody else could compete with the foreigner. But not the rest of them. And who gets the benefit? They do. And who gets not all the benefit they could get? You don't. You do. That's the way it goes. But if that's the economy we like, that's one we love, rich minority to keep getting what they have been getting, and carry on. I do not begrudge us for that. But don't expect me with what I've learned and understand to say something differently, unless I see something differently. But you ain't gonna fix them prices. And don't look to the people who are supplying the goods to you to give you that relief either. I always tell people, like, be honest, right? If you could give me a discount, you could have kept the price low in the first place. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I trust that you and your family had a wonderful Christmas and anticipation of the new year 2024.
Thank you, my friend.
What you're doing this afternoon is educating the wider community in terms of, from a financial standpoint, which is very, very essential for the next fiscal year. What I want to ask of you, Mr. Lang, can you say the last time how much overrun, or I should say, how much deficit? The Bahamas have been running, we've been running deficit for how long now? 20 plus years, 30 years?
No, we've been running deficits from we became an independent country from 1973.
Well, we never had a balanced budget in somewhere in the...
No, sir.
Never?
Never. Never.
Wow. All right. So, but what is your view in terms of our national debt? In terms of how would that affect us in 2024 and the years beyond if we can't reduce that? In terms of our dollar, etc. I know that it's pegged to the U.S. dollar, but notwithstanding that, I'm looking over the long haul, another 5-10 years. What's some of the things that you can see from a financial expert?
Yeah, your national debt and the value of your dollar are not tied in any significant way. Okay, so that's not an issue. So the level of your debt is not what's going to impact upon the value of your dollar. What about your ability to earn foreign currency as you do through tourism and international investments? So there's no issue that ties the two of them together right now. So there's no issue for that next year. There's no issue for that the year after next and so forth and so forth. They're not tied. Okay? The other thing is, you know, our national debt, our national debt is higher than we'd like, for sure. We'd like it smaller. Debt, who wouldn't? It creates for you significant debt servicing to the tune of 16% of your budget is now probably representing interest payments. So that's a significant, that's $400 to $500 million that you could, if it were less, you could divert to other things. So that's a pressure you have. It is concerning, but I am less concerned about it than I am concerned about our inability to find better ways to grow this economy. Because if we grew the economy, we could better service our debt, and we would reduce the debt to GDP ratio to more manageable levels. But we don't have that growth, and that's what concerns me more than anything else.
That from a financial standpoint, that the government need to be more prudent in terms of its spending, etc.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Absolutely so. Absolutely so.
In order for us to see anything, despite we not having the growth, like you indicated, in the economy, you need to reduce spending to some degree in order to create, because we are not paying on our national debt like we should. I look at our national debt as bloomed from $1 million and basically in 1992 to now over $10 billion. $1 billion in 92, and now is in excess of $10 billion. That's substantial in terms of
Yeah, but let me help you with something. Just so we could have it in some context, okay? When I was 24 years old, I did not have any debt, right? I have hundreds of thousands of dollars more debt now than I did then. But I can service my debt, right? So you can't look at it in terms of $10 billion. This is a country, right? The United States of America has trillions of dollars in debt. Every other country, billions and trillions of dollars in debt. So that's, I just want us to be careful. That's not the metric that you use to worry about your debt. The metric you use to worry about your debt is its percentage in relation to your national income, your interest payments, both the rate and the amount, and the prospect of your economic growth. So you look at all those things in perspective, because when you look at your mortgage is substantially bigger than your income. If you have a $300,000 mortgage and your income is $70,000, your mortgage is more than 4 times your income.
Yeah, I understand that fully, but like I said, again, I mean, despite all of that, I still believe that that successive government have not shown enough prudence in terms of the spending. I still maintain that.
But you cannot say that, because I can tell you between the 1992 and 2001, the Bahamas' deficit was of the order on average of 1%. 1%. Look at any other period in the history of the Bahamas and find that level of deficit spending. It was very low. Your debt to GDP ratio was under 50%. And your foreign debt was 35%. Okay, so don't say ever successive governments. All have added to the debt for sure. But that's the reason why I said that,
because not one government can say that they didn't add to the national debt. That's why I said that. Not to single out any particular government. Yeah. I'm saying successive, which means different administration and different government over that period. Not one government, but different administration have added to the national debt. And that is undisputed.
My friend, that is something you believe should happen. That's not how national development happens, though. National development isn't about having no debt. It's not national development. When you have to develop your family islands and you have to put infrastructure in those, you don't sit around going, oh, meantime, the people had no light, they had no roads, they had no schools. That's not how we look at national development.
I'm not looking at it from that standpoint. I use the word be more prudent. In other words, there are things that you have to deal with, the infrastructure, you might even have a hurricane during the time and all that. So there's a lot of different circumstances that have to be taken into account. But I still use the word spend the money and be more prudent.
My point to you is, you are pointing to nothing to show me where some prudence has been demonstrated. And I pointed out to you that between 1993 and 2001, the average GFS deficit in the Bahamas was 1%. 1%. And you were talking to me about prudence.
Yeah, but that's only over 10-year period. What happened over the last 20 years? That's what
difference? But except I wasn't the one who said no administration exercised prudence. You said it.
I said both governments are out to the national debt. I said that cannot be disputed.
You also said did not exercise prudence.
I said successive governments should have exercised more prudence, because there's a whole lot of things that I can see not being around the table, just the way certain things are done. The average person on the street can see that, hey, that spending wasn't necessary. I mean, what that's all about.
I can't argue with you about that. You're absolutely right.
Okay, sir. Take care.
Right, I think we lost. Either you can hear him and I can't, because he's in and out. Maybe it's my computer. But we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation. Part of the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bring any knife to school, he could do Junior in.
For what?
But he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 242-300-5720. Sorry, you can call us from the Family Islands on that number, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. Listen, I'm not going to be able to convince. I know that is true. But when you're looking at countries, you cannot look at a country altogether like you look at your personal financial circumstances. You cannot. I mean, there are some comparisons you can make, but it's not the same thing. Let me give you a simple example. The reason why banks post a lending to you at a certain point in your life is because at your age, chances are your income stream is going to start going down, not up, because you're aging. Countries don't age, right? That's why you see countries like United States, Japan, and them, they get a debt-to-GDP ratio of 100%. Japan almost is over 200% because the countries don't age. So I understand your based on your thought and notion of debt. I understand your aversion, but forgive me. When I say to you, you really don't have a complete understanding and picture of it. I'm not saying you're wrong to be concerned about the debt. I'm not saying you're wrong to want your governments to balance their budgets, etc. All I'm saying is this notion of this gut reaction to debt as if for the country that is, you know, this number is so huge, et cetera, man, that's huge in your book. You think $10 billion is a lot of money. That's what you think. I think that because it would be a huge amount of money for me. For a country, please, right? The biggest problem the Bahamas has with its growing debt is its economy just is not growing at that pace and does not have the prospect to grow at that pace. And that's the biggest challenge. This Texas, they still have not developed the islands to where they should be for the debt. Well, see, this is a statement that means what? First of all, you tell me what the island's supposed to be developed to. You tell me that. For the size of the population, for all the circumstances surrounding it, you tell me what should it be. In fact, how many of these islands have you been to? And what is it that you know about these islands and what the development, what does should mean? Like who determines what, in quote, should be the level of development? That's a statement that has, that's an opinion that is founded and based on nothing you have told us, right? So you can't, that's like saying,
You ain't developed as you should be. You yourself, are you as smart as you could be? Are you as intelligent as you could be? Do you have as much education as you could get? Are you as financially sound as you could be? Yeah. Man, we could always make those kinds of statements about ourselves and each other. That really means nothing, right? They are competing demands. You know, I'm not disagreeing with the gentleman who called the last time when he says, there are things the government spend money on they didn't need to spend money on. True. True. You're not questioning with that. That's true. But that's only a portion, maybe even a small portion of the whole picture. Did it need to spend the money on schooling the Bayman children for free? On providing you with public health services practically for free? Did it need to do that? Right? So, please tell that man no country runs debt-free. Well, he should be able to see that himself for sure. Say, Elutra is not up to par. What in Elutra especially? You can make particular claims about something like that. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So there's always room for progress. Exactly. And there will always be. Even when you fix the water in Elutra. Who says they couldn't get better water supply? We understand that. Right? And you should aspire toward the best all this. But the state, it doesn't say a lot. Because you could always say that about every human being. Is God's planet that God created? Is God's world, God's people, the way they should be? What's wrong with God who made them, who put them here? What's wrong with him that he couldn't make it to be what it should be according to you, even according to him? All right. Anyway, so we talked about the challenges. Let's look at the opportunities in the next 24, in the next 12 months, in 2024. Opportunities. So the biggest opportunity that you and I can control is how we deal with our own finances. Now, here's what's likely to happen to many of us. Many of us are likely to walk into 2024 with some lingering obligations that we didn't fund. So we have to pay attention to those and try to get them dealt with out the way early and upfront, right? So that's bottom line. You got some bills you didn't pay. You got some debts coming up. Listen, let your focus be that. Let me deal with them things. No, we're not traveling to here. No, we're not spying that. We're going to deal with this and get them behind us. That's an opportunity. And then let's organize ourselves in a way where we are determined, okay, listen, I'm gonna live within my means. I'm going to live within my means, do what I have to do within my means, and organize my affairs around that. And maybe if then I make some progress, I get a little bit of slack, and have a little couple of dollars, I can start putting away to create a little bit of cushion for me in case something happens or in case an opportunity arises. That's what we could do. That's not on your employer. That's on me and you, okay? The government of the Bahamas can do the same thing. The government of the Bahamas could look at its own circumstances and say, you know what? Let me look at the obligations that are most pressing and let me see if I could deal with those obligations. Boom. And now let me see if I could organize in a way where my cash flow is not as strained as it is so that maybe I create some room for in the event something untoward happens this year. Same thing the government can do. That's on the government. That's not on you and me. That's on the government. All right? So that's on the financial, personal, financial, public financial management front. Then there's the entrepreneurial front. Very likely, we will see more than 7 million tourists in land in the Bahamas next year. 7 million tourists. How many people believe 7 million of them got dollar each? That's $7 million. How many of you think they got $2 each? That's $14 million. $100 each. That's $700 million. So maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's a chance. for you and I to tap into their needs, their wants, their desires, and to be able to find some business opportunity for us. Most of you will not. Most of you will try. I wake and I try to take care of my thing. That business thing ain't my thing. I understand that. Some might. Some of them, that might be that opportunity. There's opportunity on the pricing front, right? Maybe you can find a way to help people better price what they're pricing now by helping them source better. Certainly for you personally, on the pricing front, the prices are going to rise again next year. Yeah, they're going up again next year. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to say, but thank you very much, ma'am. Price went up 4%. My quantity is going down 8%. You hear what I said just now? The price is going up 4%. So the Captain Crunch going up 4%. 8-something now, let's see. What's going down by 8%? By 8%? My purchase of the quantity of Captain Crunch, you said, but Shivagi, you can't buy. Well, if I was buying a bigger box, then maybe I buy the smaller box. You said, but I was buying a smaller box. Then don't buy no box at all. Maybe buy the other thing, the other crunch within Kellogg's, and that's cheaper. Don't buy none. Now you just say $8. Let me see. $8 and something cents, four times a week, because you know them children will eat a box of Cap'n Crunch in a week. $8 is, that's $36 you can save. Right? Or it's $32. Yeah, you can save. Right? So maybe do that. So that's your money now. You can put that away. Over 10 months, that's $300-something. So you could do something about that. Let me tell you something. You could save some money if you took control and command of your buying. You can do so. You don't have to be no slave to no food store. Don't get mad at them if they raise the price. Just adjust your quantity. Oh, I see you all going up on the price of turkey wing, eh? Well, I was buying 5 pounds before. I can buy 2.5 pounds now. And tell them children, eat some vegetables with a steamed turkey wing. That'll fill you up. By the way, that's what you all need to get these children to eat vegetables. Vegetables satiate you, meaning it makes you feel full. We like rice. I like rice. But rice don't satiate. This says, I'd like to see us focus on creating an ongoing, safe, wonderful tourism product and environment that we are number one with repeat tourists. We need the team responsible for getting tourists to be responsible for managing the plan. As is, it's below par and we are not getting value for money. But is there any one team? Isn't the tourism plant a lot of different people who own, control parts of it? So how does tourism do that? You don't own all the hotels. You don't own the restaurants, the straw places. Or, you know, I mean, somebody should, you know, can't, the tourism can't be champions of, but they don't own the whole plant. So there's opportunities on the pricing front. There's opportunities on the international partnering front. Listen to mine. As you move about this year and you meet foreigners, talk to them. Listen to them. You never know if one of them represents a partnering opportunity for you, both in terms of doing things here and in doing things abroad. Make that a point. There's opportunities there. You're looking to do things, together you all could do things. Right? So that's another opportunity. There's export opportunities that these same international partners can help you with. I can only tell you, man, have your eyes and your ears open for opportunities this year. Talk to people with a sense of, I want to be helpful to you. And in the process, hopefully you can be helpful to me. That's the opportunity 2024. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. I listened to your predictions. Inflation will especially have a rough time on us pensioners with limited payments, and national insurance payments are small because the government did not pay any contributions for us, only the small amount
taken out of our salaries. I never hear anything mentioned about any help for us. Everyone getting promotions that cost money. Nurse, didn't the government increase national insurance payments that recently? This it's the Davis administration, didn't they do that? I thought they did, I don't know. It says physical downtown and monuments versus the promotion teams. I'm not sure what that means. So. It says, I've seen some shrinkflation in our local stores. Prices seem to be the same, but quantity isn't. That could be happening for sure. I see a weakness in our failure to educate youth on the use of technology to live in the Bahamas but work anywhere else. We are promoting digital nomads and remote workers to come live and work here, but not encouraging us to do the same. Live here, but work elsewhere. That's true. That's true. And there might be such opportunities, you know, where you can, because if you go on Indeed, for instance, .com, they have, like, you could search international jobs. So these are people who are looking for people who live anywhere. That they may be salespeople, they can be salespeople, they can be personal assistants and that kind of stuff. And so it's really not so much on the government alone, but maybe on parents and guardians and counselors and others who could say to people, listen, here are ways you can do some searches, right? I'm trying to help my children be strategic about their next moves in life. So as they plan for their next level of training, I'm saying be strategic in this kind of way, because here are more and multiple opportunities for you if you do it this way. Look, I know what your passion is, but really look for where people are looking for people, because in that way, you can find ways to pay yourself while you pursue your passions, right? So again, a lot of this stuff, man, requires us to put the TV down, put the television, the radio down, and sit down and reflect and do some search. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to improve our lives. Let me tell y'all something, boy. Y'all see that? Y'all see some of this violence on the streets we have? This is pent-up frustration born of the inability to see opportunities to thrive, to flourish, to get ahead. You want me to say it again? Some of these young men, some of these young women are sitting down, and all around they could see is no way. And in the process, they are frustrated, they are angry, and sometimes they get presented with possibilities to be able to meet their needs and maybe even do more than meet their needs. And they are running after those possibilities. And at the end of the day, they run up into harm, maybe even death, imprisonment. Now, who's that on? That's on us as a community, as a society. That's on them. That's on the parent. That together we can try to solve the problem. Some people are doing some things, but don't let nobody fool you. Some churches are doing some things, some charities are doing some things, some civic organizations are doing some things, some individuals are doing some things. So don't let, but we haven't solved the problem. So we know there's more work to be done. And maybe that means we need more hands on board. Right? So 2024 does not exist. Can I tell you that again? There's no way you can find 2024. And 2024 is not a place, a time set in stone. 2024 is merely the way we have chosen as a group of people on the planet to measure out the allotment of time. What is time? Time is really just the relative movement of bodies in space. It's really made up. Yeah, I know the scientist says space-time is like a dimension. No. Scientists are questioning all that. There is no future. They are the consequences of our present. So when you see that clock, strike 12 o'clock, January 1, 2024, that's only another moment. And then the second will be another moment.
And what happens in those moments will very much depend on what you've done in these moments and what you are going to do in those moments. So don't get scared of 2024. Don't see 2024 as a threat. Don't see it as some big monster waiting to swallow you up, some mysterious unknown that can bring you anything. Chances are, they say the best way is to create it. And certainly we have things that we can do that can help to create that future. And that's all I'm saying to you. So I want to wish you all the very, 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 very best for the new year. And trust that next year together, we can do even better and do even more. I appreciate you all. Thank you. And for all the bad and I have done, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Pray for me. And I pray for you. And let's together do our best. God bless you. Take care. We'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Live off the record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.